Good evening, and welcome to Talk Truth Radio with your host, Dr. Rain Morgan. Dr. Rain Morgan is Mother Earth, and you can look forward to the next 3 hours of enlightening talk. What are the issues? More importantly, what are the solutions? We hold the torch. Together we stand. Now join Dr. Rain and this evening's guest. Open your mind and have a good time.
Morgan, and this is Talk Truth Radio. Thanks again so much for being with us. I think you're going to find this evening's show awesome, wonderful. We have Monica Lewis with us. Of course, it's the end of the month, and we always do a show with Monica in her using her skills in Sabian astrology. We're going to do the December forecast, and then the next hour, we're going to have James Gilliland on, and we're going to be talking about his ranch up in Washington where there are many, many hundreds and hundreds of UFO sightings. So let's get on with it. Joining me this evening, and listen, just want to throw this in. Sorry I forgot this, Sandra Rose Michael. We are brought to you by Energy Enhancement System, and you can go to eesystem.com. Many, many thanks to Dr. Sandra Rose Michael. We'll talk about the bioscalar energy a little bit more later on, but we've got 1 hour with Monica Lewis, our Sabian astrologer. So, hey, Monica, good evening.
Hello, Rain. Hello, everybody. It's nice to be back here at the end of the month. I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving and are all ready to look at the period around December and all that stuff that comes with preparing for the Christmas season and Hanukkah and all the holidays.
Absolutely. So, you know, Monica, I was going to say to you last time, there's always something about the fall months to me. October, November, and then, of course, December isn't fall, that's really winter. But those 3 months seem to be very important in my life, and always things are finishing up and new things are starting. Is that kind of typical for the fall and wintery months?
For the last 3 months of the year? October, November, December, and everything from September on, we're actually starting to celebrate the harvest and preparation for summing up the year that's ending. And we've been doing that ever since September with Jewish New Year all the way through the winter solstice on January 1st. So it's always a special time because it's a time when we bring in the harvest, we wind things up, and we celebrate our harvest. That's where our Christmas and our whole Thanksgiving festivals come in. So it's a time of gathering in and summing up for this quarter of the year before we move on to a new cycle, which usually starts on the winter solstice, just instinctively in the northern hemisphere. And it's a high point for people in the southern hemisphere as well because it's the solstice period. So we're always kind of summing up just before we hit the solstices.
Okay.
So that's what I take it to be, and your feeling of having to sum it up here in the last 3 months of the calendar year, I think is very typical.
Okay. Yeah. That's how it feels to me. And typically, my birthday month, January, is kind of a flat month for me. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the holidays are over. You're always so up, you know, for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of that. And there's always, too, a feeling with New Year's that, okay, just come to a stop, you know, with all of festivities or whatever it is. I don't know. And it's also, for me, typically a little bit of a letdown. And I always find that strange because my birthday is the 3rd, and, you know, I guess I like to think I should be really happy around my birthday, but it is kind of a letdown period.
Well, a lot of people have a little letdown period just before their birthday. They actually do. Not just that time of year, but I think because your birthday follows on New Year's Day so closely,
uh-huh.
it kind of intensifies it in the holiday period. So you get kind of a double dose of that. But a lot of people, including myself, have felt just before one's birthday or just around one's birthday a sense of blah, kind of a letdown.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's maybe just we're coming to the end of one personal cycle, an end of our personal year. So there's kind of a sense of here we come to the end. It's rolling to the stop. So we're having a pregnant pause before we rev up for the new year, which starts on our birthday, our personal new year.
Well, Monica, what do we have coming for December?
Well, I'm going to go over this differently, mindful that we only have an hour. I'm just going to start hitting some of what I consider the most important highlights of the month of December rather than going week by week or day by day like I've done previously. I'm going to try out a different little format here. There's two important things that are happening this December, actually three big ones. But let me start out with the planets that are retrograde. As I mentioned last month, on November 15th, Mars turned retrograde and in Cancer, and it's still retrograde here in December, and Mars is going to be retrograde all the way this December into January 30th of 2008. So Mars will be retrograde for a very long time, and Mars only turns retrograde once every 2+ years, and now it's staying retrograde for an extremely long time. So now having Mars retrograde all the month of December, we're dealing, and it's Mars in Cancer, by the way, that is retrograde. We're having to deal with a lot of interesting things that have been going on, and I've been watching this Mars retrograde in Cancer. It's been very interesting. People will emotionally, impulsively say, we're going to do this. And 5 minutes later, they phone you back and say, you know what I said we were going to do tonight? We're not doing it. We're doing something else.
Yeah.
And you have to change your plans on the spin of a dime. And I've noticed that ever since Mars went retrograde here, that's what we've been doing. Everyone has been trying to plan ahead, but they can't. They think they're going to do something, and then the minute they say, yes, that's what we're going to do, that's the action we're going to take, and Mars is connection with the actions we take, then suddenly something will come up and change it completely, and you have to redirect your action. And so I've been watching Mars retrograde at work and learning about what Mars retrograde is by observing, and it's always this redirection of one's actions. You're all set up to do something, and then you suddenly at the last minute have to change your plans, and you have to go with the change. And as a result of that, sometimes these last-minute changes that you're forced to do, it comes out better than you ever could have imagined by taking your original long-term plan. Other times with Mars in Cancer, it's frustrating to have to be changing your plans every 3 minutes, just when you think they're stable. And so there's a lot of buried resentments coming up. Where Mars is retrograde in Cancer, a lot of people are sitting on their feelings, but they're doing a slow burn. And then they can't take it anymore, and they finally explode with frustration. And we've had an example of that in the collective with the riots in France this last few days. That's definitely a Mars in Cancer retrograde action. It's like a slow-burning frustration, which we're trying to hold it in, we're trying to hold it in, and then we can't. So I'm watching Mars in Cancer work out these kind of frustrations, which I want to bring up with Mars in Cancer over the whole month of December. Cancer is a sign of family, and of course, in the case of France, it's as the nation, as your family. So this could be from a small group, your immediate family, to your nation as a family. But in any case, I wanted to talk about people needing to work with their emotions over the holiday season. They're going to have some frustrations around family members or family gatherings. That includes travel. There'll be delays. Plans won't be what they think they are. Things will have to be altered at the last minute. And this may build up a lot of sense of frustration and a lot of buried feelings that are simmering, you know, things that have bothered you for years, you know. Just right now you can't take it anymore. That these may explode during the holiday period, especially around the full moon, because the full moon is December 23rd, which is right on the eve of Christmas, and it's right there on the winter solstice. So it's a very powerful time, and it's the time when most people are rushing to get to the family holiday activities. And with this Mars retrograde, where things have to be changed at the last minute, things are dropped at the last minute, and you have to deal with it. What I'm worried about is how emotions in families, since our expectations around the happy holiday scene, you know, out of the Courier or Ives print, are so intense that if we don't, we might just start exploding all over. Buried, you know, in other words, some people's Christmases or Hanukkah celebrations could be the one they remember, but not for the best of reasons, but because that was the year that all the emotional frustrations finally, you know, boiled over, and then now there's a family feud that will take a year or two to repair. So I want to bring up to people that Mars is retrograde in Cancer. There are going to be intense emotions that you have to stifle, irritations that you'll sit on and ordinarily won't bother you, but suddenly you'll internalize it. Someone said something, and you'll feel, what did you mean by that? Normally that wouldn't bother you, but suddenly now it does, you know. Because Cancer is all about, what did you say to me and how you hurt my feelings.
Yes, so I'm Cancer Moon, and that's about me right there.
Right. Even if it wasn't about you, you think it was. So I'm recommending that everyone have some what I call toxic waste dump sites, especially when things do get frustrating. Their plane is delayed. Their car breaks down, which is Mars in Cancer. I just had tonight that I went out to the garage to start the second car, and the battery's dead. It's never done that, but it did tonight. And just frustrated, you know, when I was trying to get ready for this show, you know, right then, not before. So I'm asking everyone to find a toxic waste dump site, a place where they can sort of go off by themselves and let out a scream of frustration where no one else will be hurt. Because I think that's going to be very much important that you do, because trying to hold your emotions in now with Mars retrograde in Cancer, the frustrations will just, it'll be, I've sat on it, and I can't take it anymore, and then I'll explode. And it might be over the turkey dinner on Christmas Eve. In particular,
it's interesting because, you know, your car, my bank account. I went to look at my bank account tonight, and I'm telling you, I have no earthly idea how this happened, but it's way down. I had to transfer money. I could have bounced a payment. There's a payment in there that it's an automatic debit, and I have no idea who it is. I have to wait until tomorrow to find out who is debiting or what is debiting my account. Today was kind of a mess up with my daughter. It was her birthday. In every direction, I've got something going on.
Well, that's what I want to bring up for everyone's holiday, because Mars is retrograde in Cancer during the whole month of December and quite literally up until the last day of January. But that will be different because Mars in December is staying in Cancer. On the night of December 31st, Mars retrogrades back into Gemini, which is a different energy. It's an air energy. Be a little more mental about it. With Mars in Cancer, it's all about emotions and seething resentments and buried feelings. Now, it's not the same as Scorpio, but because it's in Cancer, these are the kind of things that tend to erupt in family settings, especially when you're supposed to be having the happy holiday meal or the happy holiday get-together, straight out of Courier and Ives or something, right?
Yeah.
And then that's the day that someone shows up or says some little remark that, you know, you have to deal with them every holiday period, and suddenly this time it just gets to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You say, I've sat on this for years, but I can't take it anymore. And what I'm recommending is everyone give themselves some breathing space and give themselves some out so that they can, when that feeling comes on that they're going to blow up in the family setting during a family holiday meeting of any kind, that they can get on a coat and walk out the door and go cool off or go, you know, punching bag. Or they could suddenly say, I've got to go take a bath, you know, and lock the door.
Got to get out of the situation.
Right, because what I see coming up here with the full moon and the way it's coming right on the holiday period on December 23 when the full moon is exact, is that because the Mars in Cancer and then Pluto is where it is, why it's just that this time people won't forgive and forget after the holiday. These will be blow-ups and words that will linger. And what I'm talking about is there's no need to do that kind of damage. But you have to honor that you really feel that frustrated and that resentful. And they're boiling. So I'm asking everyone to try to figure out, and especially those of you who know that you're going into delicate and touchy family settings where you know that a certain aunt and uncle will set you off or a certain set of in-laws will set you off. You know where you're vulnerable. That
right.
to figure out a way to say, okay, I know they're going to be frustrating and I know it's going to happen, but I'm going to figure out some escape valves for myself. What I call private toxic waste dumps, places where you can go and dump just exactly how you feel in a toxic waste site that's the perfect toxic waste site. It never leaks. It doesn't bother anybody else. And I'm asking people to be creative with that so that you can avoid having some really horrific blow-ups around the holidays, especially with the full moon being on the 23rd, that means the full moon will be in effect through Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, even on to the next day, December 26th, which is known as Boxing Day in the UK and in Canada. So there's a long, period of time here. And I think I may be going on a bit long about this, but I think that's really important if people can be aware that it's going to be natural with Mars retrograde in Cancer that every plan they make is going to be changed 3 minutes later. It's just part of it. And it's frustrating. You think you're going to do this, but then you're going to do that. And that will have a degree of frustration to it because you can't make any dependable plans. But on the other hand, situations are evolving so fast, you need to be flexible with change like that. So it's just that idea when I was looking at the full moon here, especially where it's all sitting. I'm looking at the full moon. I've jumped ahead here to the full moon, which is December 23rd here in the United States, and it's December 24th, early morning hours in Europe. We have a full moon with Jupiter and Pluto conjunct the sun, opposite moon conjunct Mars. So it's a really volatile situation. Mars and the moon are coming into conjunction at the full moon on the moon on Mars retrograde, which means, you know, you just held it in and suddenly it just went kaboom. And so that's the first thing if you want to ask about the big thing about December is plan ahead with some foresight. We want to honor the fact that we're going to have some highly emotionally frustrating moments like you did with your checking account. It just gets on your nerves. You know?
Yeah, it wasn't a horrible thing. I mean, I could, you know, fix it, but
it's
whew.
Just, it just gets on your nerves now.
Uh-huh.
It's a fingernail down the blackboard.
Yes.
Right now.
Just like that.
And it wouldn't be normally, but right now it is. And so I'm just saying to people, if you know what kind of situation you're going into with family and that it isn't that beautiful Courier and Ives print, you know, straight
right,
out of the fairy tale, and you know that your family situation is not that, then figure out how you can figure out some escape valves where you can get up and walk out. Because Mars retrograde in Cancer also deals with Mars retrograde period, means you think before you act. You think before you open your mouth. You pause before you knee-jerk. And that's the benefit, is it gives us a chance to know it's coming so we don't have to have that knee-jerk reaction to what someone said. We can think about it, and we can duck, and we can redirect. And I'm just recommending that we do, because at the full moon on December 23, 24, we have the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction is right on the sun. So it means whatever went on. And then besides that, Jupiter and Pluto are on the sun, and all three of them are on top of Mercury, which said, whatever you say on Christmas Eve or on December 23rd this time, on Christmas Day, it's going to be remembered and never forgot. You know, for a very long time. So
yeah.
If you want to avoid a decade-long family feud in terms of who said what to whom on Christmas,
uh-huh.
This might be a time to think how you can strategize. And Mars in Cancer is a great strategist. What you can do to strategize to give yourself a place to get out of it, and find your own private toxic waste dump site so you can get it out. And then, you know, clean it out and then come back after you've got some fresh air. So that's the biggest thing to talk about just in the incoming holiday season. The other thing with Mars in Cancer is expect delays at airports. You know, watch out for people driving Mars in Cancer. You may have car accidents near your home just because people are rushing and shopping, and they're trying to get it all done. And, of course, we tend to overschedule and try to do too much in too little time. So that brings me to the next beneficiary we have. Saturn is now in Virgo, and that Saturn is sextile to this Mars in Cancer, which means it's an opportunity to work smarter, not harder. So sit down with Saturn and Virgo and strategize. Figure out exactly what do I need to get done in terms of holiday obligations and parties, and what can I let go? And have the courage to cut the fat. Have the courage to say, less is more.
Right.
Or shorter is better than longer. And Saturn and Virgo, sextile to Mars, says, there's an opportunity here to have a leaner and cleaner holidays period by not overworking. Because the holiday period, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or any winter solstice holiday around this, is about, in the Northern Hemisphere in particular, is about slowing down and working on one's soul development. One should be able to enjoy the Hanukkah lights and remember what they stand for. And that may take some time to listen to the story of Hanukkah being told again as if you were a small child. But you need to hear it that way and slow down. So less is more, slow is better than faster. Because the most important thing we can do during this holiday period is take in the spiritual teachings of the holidays being celebrated. There's profound spiritual truths here, and Saturn in Virgo is telling us it's time for you to slow down and take in the spiritual truths of these spiritual holidays being celebrated in December so that you can actually have the benefit of the soul expansion and growth that they are meant to produce. And in particular, Saturn turns retrograde on December 19th, but right now, tonight, Saturn is in the ninth degree of Virgo by Sabian symbol. It's 8+, actually. And it's going to stay in the ninth degree of Virgo Sabian symbol for the entire month. And it turns retrograde on December 19th in the middle of the ninth degree at 8 degrees 34 minutes. So we have a whole month of Saturn going forward and then turning retrograde in one Virgo Sabian symbol degree, number 9.
Monica, how does that affect me, being that I'm a Virgo rising?
Okay, let's talk about the meaning of the Sabian symbol Virgo 9. Virgo 9, the Sabian symbol Virgo 9, is a symbol for the tone of one's being. In very simple terms, it's the Hindu meditation sound Om. That's all it is. It's literally the sound Om. And why is Om so important? Because Om is the seed sound of individual being.
Right.
It's the seed sound of our human consciousness and creation and divinity. And so Saturn is sitting all month in that degree of Om. And what is it trying to show us? Sextile to Mars retrograde as well. This is the sound, Om. This is the sound you're supposed to listen to as it goes in the beautiful Christmas carol that was written in 1957, Do You Hear What I Hear? And you remember that one of the lines
of
that is,
of course I
do you hear what I hear, said the wind to the little lamb, which means it was asking the nature, an animal being, whether it heard the cosmic sound. And that sound can be typified as Om, the music of the spheres. So you're being asked to slow down, and can you hear it?
Now, Monica, I know that when the churches are singing this song, they're not thinking that it's the seed sound of all creation, the Om.
No, they're not. But I read a wonderful book on the history of Christmas carols, which was excellent, and it talked about how this carol was composed in 1957, and the human being who got the inspiration, who went out in the night sky and heard that sound ringing through the night sky, and then tried to write a song about what he was hearing in the beautiful silence of the night, and the music that he was hearing on, you know, on the spiritual level,
right,
on the cosmic level. And that's what came out of that experience was this Christmas carol.
That's probably one of my favorite Christmas carols.
And so I'm saying right now, 9 degrees Virgo, you can say, is literally the seed sound of being. And that's what Saturn in Virgo is slowing things down, saying work smarter, not harder. You need to pay attention, Saturn in Virgo, to the spiritual truths that are in this holiday season. No matter what holiday you celebrate in December, there's great spiritual truth in the holidays here. And the reason they're in December is because, in the Northern Hemisphere, is because that's when the cosmos energy comes down into the earth and you can actually hear the sound of heaven much closer to the physical earth. And that's a little quote from Rudolf Steiner. So I'll tip my hat to who it belongs to. It wasn't me. But it's important to know that. So as we have Saturn turning retrograde on mid-December, it's pulling that sound that we're hearing outwardly in the sky. Do you hear what I hear? Then we're going to hear the resonance of that sound within during the last half of the month. And as you know, December 19th is very close to the winter solstice. which will be in the North American area on December, very late at night on December 21, and it will be December 22 in other parts of the world. So this is coming in. There's a lot of things happening around the winter solstice besides the winter solstice and Saturn turning retrograde. On December 18, which is real close to the winter solstice, on the day before Saturn goes retrograde, Jupiter enters Capricorn, enters the sign of Saturn. Jupiter is now in Saturn's sign, so it's expanding one's understanding of the profound meaning of this silence, this depth that we can hear with Saturn in Virgo. And also on December 18, the sun conjuncts the galactic center, and right now the galactic center is 26 degrees 55 minutes of Sagittarius, which is 27 Sagittarius in the Sabian symbol, and the sun will conjunct the galactic center on December 18. And then on that day also, just before the winter solstice, Mercury will enter Capricorn. So we have the inner ability to hear. I find it interesting that Jupiter and Mercury are both entering Capricorn, the sign ruled by Saturn. So they're playing homage to the Saturn thing, which is the reason I'm going on a bit about the Saturn in the ninth degree of Virgo. It's telling us to slow down, to expand carefully, and what we need to expand is our ability to hear that inner sound of being by whatever name we choose to call it.
Well, and I think it's very interesting, Monica, because, you know, my birthday is January 3rd. I did move into the shadow of my second Saturn return, and everything now is coming together as if it were right for my chart.
Well,
what do you think is going to happen to me? Maybe I'll implode.
Well, you're actually beginning to set it up. You're setting yourself up to sum it up when the actual return happens. So you're coming into the final, you know, let's get ready. It's the eve of your Saturn return. So you're bringing up the final, you know, the final integration and putting it together to sum up what you've done in the last 30 years. I also wanted to bring up one other thing that happens on December 18. You notice that December 18, 19, and 20, and 21 are, you know, powerful things are happening on those days. One other thing occurs on December 18th, besides the sun conjuncting the galactic center and Jupiter going into Capricorn, the nodes, which are the north and south nodes, they're leaving the north node. The north and south nodes are leaving Pisces Virgo and entering Aquarius Leo. So on December 18, the north node enters Aquarius, and the south node enters Leo. So what we'll be working on is leaving our self-centeredness behind and finding out what we can do to help out our fellow human being, how we can serve our community, how our personal gifts, our personal best can be put to the service of the community of humanity, all humanity, without judgment of any kind on race, class, religion, culture, color, anything. A human being is a human being. What can I do to serve and evolve, serve the evolution of my fellow human being? So all these things are floating around the solstice, besides the actual solstice itself, which occurs when the sun enters Capricorn on late night, December 21, and the rest of the time on December 22 of the rest of the planet. So we have some really powerful energies moving here. And I've even saved the best for last, because right now, Jupiter and Pluto are coming together. They're not at conjunction, but they will be exact on December 11th in conjunction. And that's 2 days after the new moon, which the new moon is December 9th. And Jupiter and Pluto will exactly conjunct on December 11th. And what's powerful about that is Jupiter and Pluto only conjunct in Sagittarius, or in each sign, once every 249 years. So the last time Jupiter and Pluto conjuncted in Sagittarius was November 10th, 1758. And the last time they conjuncted, Jupiter and Pluto conjuncted where they're conjuncting right now, is going to be, was in the year 1023. And in the year 1023 is when China invented and started printing paper money. So it's been literally since the year 1023 CE that Jupiter and Pluto are conjuncting. Well, they'll be conjuncting on December 11. And I find that profound, because when Jupiter and Pluto conjunct, which they are on December 11th, right within 2 days after the new moon and within the new moon period, then we have a huge expansion of human awareness, a huge, huge expansion of human awareness about what really matters. Jupiter and Pluto conjunct in Sagittarius means expansion of consciousness. Jupiter says expand horizontally, and Pluto says, yes, we want you to expand, but we want you to go for the depth of the all. So now you have the ultimate expansion of height and depth and breadth of being. It's as close to a genuine experience of the depth of cosmic consciousness as we're going to get. And this is the only time Jupiter and Pluto will conjunct in Sagittarius until another 249 years. So this conjunction, which is on December 11th, right near the new moon, sets the tone for the entire month of December. I am doing it backwards, but Mars is retrograde, so I'm going at everything backwards in action. But this conjunction is extremely powerful, because it's saying the reason you need to be able to focus on that tone of being that I've been talking about is because through hearing your inner tone of being, you're going to be able to hear not only your own personal tone of being, but the depth and tone of being of the entire universe, or all of creation. With Jupiter and Pluto sitting where they are, it'll expand your awareness beyond just your personal depth. You're really going to enter into the biggest expansion of cosmic depth. And that's the little gift here, that Jupiter and Pluto conjunct the new moon in the first 10 days of December give us. And so there's a huge awareness of now of how we're going to expand into cosmic consciousness in a real sense. And we'll miss it if we're too busy rushing around.
Okay.
So
we have to slow down.
Yep, we have to slow down. And then we may be drawn to slow down, because Jupiter-Pluto is the most potent thing, is one of the most potent combinations in the entire zodiac. So they're not going to take no for an answer. They
gotcha.
Really aren't going to take no for an answer, guaranteed. And so they may draw you up short. They may draw you up short completely, and just you'll be plumped into depth. And this could be, like Jupiter-Pluto on the sad side, could be we could hear about a huge massacre or atrocity in terms of massacre of human life due to religious fanaticism, some incredible mass murder of some sort. I hope that does not happen in any way whatsoever, but it's the kind of thing that brings people up short and makes them understand that there are more important things than rushing around and worrying how many green and red candles you're buying.
Yeah.
And if Pluto doesn't get our attention, Jupiter, Pluto don't get our attention by us paying homage to them, they'll get our attention another way if they really, really have to. And that that I want to bring up for people. Excuse me. They're going to be coming together. The Pluto-Jupiter conjunction will be exact in the 29th degree of Sagittarius Sabian symbol. It'll be 28 degrees, 24 minutes. And that Sabian symbol, 29 Sagittarius, deals with doing what one has to do in order to maintain one's personal respectability. It's a young boy mowing a lawn in the front lawn of an elegant suburban home. So it's doing whatever you've got to do to maintain respectability. But the respectability you have to maintain is not the respectability of outer fashion. It's what do you have to do to maintain your self-respect vis-a-vis your own God self? How do you maintain your own spiritual and divine self-respect? This is not about outer things. So it's pulling us down into that, and it's making sure that we pay attention. And that Pluto-Jupiter conjunction is very close to being exact right now as I speak. It's already forming intensely. And so you can probably all already feel it at work. And it is the big looming presence for over the month of December, is how do we maintain our spiritual self-respect? And that's another reason I went into, you know, being aware of how to go slower and deeper and feel the sense of the spiritual presence of our own seed sound of being, the seed sound of creation in ourselves, the Om. Because it was about honoring this Jupiter-Pluto conjunction, which is in the 29th degree of Sagittarius. And one of the other things that comes up later with this that I found more powerfully is later this month, we're going to be asked to honor another large piece of ourselves, because on December 30th, after the winter solstice, Venus will enter Sagittarius the night on December 30th. So it's going to say, do we really love our fellow human being? Do we love the person who is the stranger or foreigner who lives among us? So that's going to bring up issues, especially for the United States, around immigration and immigration reform and xenophobia. You know, have we been fair? Have we been loving? Have we been truthful about that? Or are we having to face issues about the peace on earth, goodwill to men really has a short fuse? Those are issues that we'll have to come up with truth-telling. Do we really know how to do that or not? And that will be shown after the winter solstice and after Christmas, with Venus going into Sagittarius. It's just how well do we live up to that? And like I said, after all this intense soul searching on December 31st, not New Year's Eve, but New Year's Eve day, Mars retrogrades back into Gemini, which means where we've been pondering things emotionally, now we'll feel compelled to speak up about it and to review our actions by talking about it or communicating what we truly are willing to be counted for. And that's how December ends, pretty much, in some of its ways, is that we're going to have a time of deep immersion in the spiritual truth of the holidays, which are celebrated here in December, all of them, including the Advent season, which starts on December 2nd, because it's the first Sunday of Advent on December 2nd. So we have the entire month from December 2nd all the way through December 31, which is New Year's Day in the Roman calendar, We have all this time to ponder the spiritual truths that are being presented to us through this month of holidays. And we're being challenged by not staying superficial, and there's no way we're going to be superficial here. Jupiter-Pluto in Sagittarius.
Won't allow it.
No, they won't. Because Jupiter-Pluto is like, Jupiter is like the little kid who pointed to the emperor and says, but mother, he doesn't have any clothes on, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Jupiter-Pluto is, not only doesn't he have clothes, you know, I can tell you why he doesn't, and I can tell you, you know all the dirty little secrets. It's demanding that we go into the depths. So I think, to make this end up on a happier note, I think this could be a profound time of spiritual peace, inner peace, for people who meditate and who use the retrogrades in a inner manner to help themselves grow. I think there could be a time of great inner joy, and we really can hear what that carol says, do you hear what I hear, and really hear that sound. And that experience is a very moving one. So I'm looking for a lot of people, regardless of which holiday they celebrated, to suddenly get a spiritual insight into the meaning of that holiday, which they've celebrated their entire lives and thought they knew all about it, that they'll be surprised by an incredible, how moved they will be by this holiday celebration, how profoundly moved on a level of being they didn't imagine they even possessed, by the holiday celebration and what the meanings of the holiday rituals are. And new insights will come to people, things they didn't expect, insights about the meaning of the holiday period, of family, of all this will just pop out and surprise them. So I think it will, in that respect, I think there will be a season of great joy and celebration, because it will be a reaffirmation of all the deepest spiritual truths that each of the holidays celebrated during this month of December try to convey year after year to the celebrants. That kind of sums it up. Is there any questions you'd like to ask me? And I could.
Well, Monica, have you ever done a talk on Christmas?
Yes, I have a lecture that I haven't done recently, but I've done a full lecture on the 12 days of Christmas and the meaning of the Advent season.
Here thinking that might make, like we did Halloween, that might make for a very interesting show also.
Which one, the 12 days of Christmas or the Advent season?
Well, either both.
Yeah, I could go into the meanings of the holiday preparations and what they mean, and how they play out on the solstice. And for those people that celebrate solstice celebrations, what those nights mean.
I know that the Christian folk would be very, very interested to learn that many of their holidays and their practices come deeply rooted in the pagans. And one in particular that's very interesting to me is the Yule log.
Oh, yeah, that's an ancient one.
Yes.
That's a very old one. It has a huge meaning about light in the darkness, the light that sustains in the darkest time of the year. So it's a very profound teaching about that even in the darkest of times, there's always light. And that log has to do with that.
So why don't we get together in the next week? I'll give you a call, and we'll see if we can't book a show in December to talk about the Advent and to talk about the 12 days of Christmas.
I'd love to. Briefly say that, Advent Sunday is this coming Sunday, December 2nd.
Well,
and
can
those
you give us a little rundown on that?
Oh, well, real quickly. The four Sundays of Advent are simply the four Sundays before Christmas Day. And since the fourth Sunday of Advent is also the full moon, you're going to get a full moon. Each of these days, or the four, each of the four Sundays of Advent, along with the four candles which are there, are dedicated to a specific spiritual virtue. You meditate each week as you light each candle on a specific spiritual virtue, and this is brought out by Rudolf Steiner. And the point of it is that, but it's a preparatory period for Christmas. So that by the time you get done with the fourth Sunday of Advent, which this year falls on the full moon, December 23, which is the last Sunday, you're coming into full conscious awareness of what the meaning of the winter solstice Christmas holiday, Sol Invictus, is really about. And you can participate in the 12 days of Christmas, which actually are December 26th through January 6th. December 25 is technically the Feast of the Nativity. And then the days of Christmas follow it, the 12 days of Christmas follow it. So Advent is a preparatory period to get you into certain, by meditating on each of these four major virtues, they bring you into a state of consciousness where you can be a participant, a very alert and spiritually awake participant in the Feast of the Nativity and the Feast of Adam and Eve and the 12 days of Christmas. Just technically speaking, December 24th is the Feast of Adam and Eve. December 25th is the Feast of the Nativity. And December 26th through January 6th are the 12 days of Christmas. So when we use Christmas for December 25, it's not technically correct.
Not technically.
No. It's actually the Feast of the Nativity.
Monica, give your information, people to get a hold of you, and I highly encourage all of you out there listening to get a private session with Monica. I have had one, and it is definitely enlightening. So, highly
encourage you. I want my contact
information.
Okay, my phone number, and I can be reached at area code 303-665-4675. That phone number has an answering machine where you could leave your name, your date of birth, your time of birth, and your place of birth if I don't pick up the phone, and I'll call you back and we can set up a reading. With that, I do need that information about name, about place, date, and time in order to give you an accurate reading. And then I also have email, and my email is thesabian, T-H-E, lowercase, then capitalized S, and then capitalized S, A-B-I-A-N, thesabian, app, and the app sign, webtv.net. And leave me there at thesabianwebtv.net, and I'll certainly, you know, reply to you by email, and we can set up an appointment that way.
Okay.
And also, when you write asking for an appointment, please give me your date of birth, your time of birth, and your place of birth. That would be really helpful.
Date, time, and place of birth.
Right.
All right, Monica, I want to thank you so very much for coming on and doing this show with me, giving us the lowdown of what we have to look forward to in December. And, of course, you'll be back with us at the end of December. And before that, I just can't give you a date as to when, because we haven't talked about that.
No,
but
we haven't.
We'll get you booked, we'll get you scheduled, and we'll talk about the 12 days of Christmas. So, Monica,
yeah, I'd love to
so
talk
much.
About Advent and the 12 days and all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how
thank
this
you.
All actually is meant to bring people into a state of, frankly, cosmic consciousness.
All right. So we'll look forward to that. I'll give you a call. And, again, let me just say it is thesabian at webtv.net, and the S is capitalized. So
yes.
303-665-4675, Monica Lewis. Thank you so much. Many
well,
blessings.
Thank you so much.
And good night, Monica.
Good night.
And those of you, sit tight, because we have James Gilliland coming on. I think Seth, our beloved engineer, is probably dialing him up as we speak. Want to just say a little bit about EE System. It generates a multiple bioactive life-enhancing energy fields, including scalar waves, which can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, provide relief from pain, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing the brain to increase energy levels and promote wellness. EE System has been installed around the world to promote healing, relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. And this environmentally safe system developed by Dr. Sandra Rose Michael is used by individuals, doctors, therapists, meditation and wellness centers, health spas, medi spas, hospitals, and resorts. EESystem.com. Go look at the website. Find out more about all of the things that can be achieved by putting a system right in your home. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Sandra Rose Michael, for putting Talk Truth Radio on the air. Seth, are we calling up James Gilliland? And for those of you boys, girls, guys, dolls, let's take a couple of minute break while Seth gets our next guest on the line.
Hey everybody, this is Mrs. Reich. I am the star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. See, well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Oh, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show?
That works. In fact, I can.
Or Health, Energy, and Science show.
Health Science and.
We just call it the Dr. Bell show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only a little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health Science and.
Morgan here, and the second half of the show, we have James Gilliland on, and want to tell you right now while we're talking, go to eceti.org, E-C-E-T-I.org, pull his website up so you can be taking a look at what we're talking about. James, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. You and I have not talked in some time.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot been going on.
Well, I want to hear all about it. Now, I pulled up your website and was taking a look at that this afternoon. You have a new DVD out. The last time I talked with you, you told me that there were two movies coming together. And you have a new show with right here with us on bbsradio.com. So let's take it from the top.
Okay. Yeah, there's actually three movies that are coming out. The first one is Contact Has Begun, and that's with John Savage and Michael Knight are the producers of that, and Dreams Come True. And they just did a phenomenal job on this. I mean, it's theater quality, you might say. It's done with a high-definition TV or cameras, and just the special effects and the people that got involved in it, just the best of the best got involved and made an incredible movie.
What's in the movie, James?
Well, it starts out with some footage of some of the contacts that we're having here and the ships flying over. And, you know, this is real footage. It's not make-believe or special effects. It's taken exactly how we took it, you know, while we're in the field here. We had some Boeing engineers here at the time. We had two big ships fly in right over us and powered up. And they both powered up at the exact same time coming from the north, which is, you know, definitely not any kind of a space shuttle or space station or Iridium flare or anything like that. But, you know, we go on heavens above and check and make sure that we're not seeing something that's not man-made. But we just have phenomenal footage here. We've got probably almost 70 hours now of footage of UFOs flying over the ranch and interacting with people on the ground. So the movie covers that. It covers not just the ships, but it covers who's on the ships and takes it to the next level. And then it goes into Earth changes and talks about the future and gives the science behind it and what's unfolding on the planet. And it even moves into near-death experiences, and you know, it covers everything from UFOs to spirituality to Earth changes.
Well, I think that's something that would be pertinent for us to get into this evening, is
mm-hmm.
the Earth changes. Now, you're talking about what is going to be hitting us around 2010. That's why I said to folks, you know, go get on the website. Take a look
mm-hmm.
at what I'm looking at right now, and there's a tremendous amount, orb photography and UFO photographs,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things that I find most important, most relevant right now, James, is by 2010, and you know, there's always so much talk about what's coming in 2012.
Uh-huh.
Why 2012? Why 2010? Why are you saying that and not 2012?
Well, the information that we're getting right now, and this is what's on the books, is there's going to be a lot of movement, like water movement, and that's actually this spring around March, you know, of this coming year. So there's the coastlines are, you know, might be in jeopardy, and there's a lot of calving going on, you know, they just went and studied, they were studying the glaciers, and they were saying, look, these are melting almost 6 to 7 times faster than any of the models. So, you know, it's that water's got to go somewhere, and that increased pressure, along with the Earth is expanding, the Earth is definitely heating up, and it's expanding, and that pressure has to be released. So it's just a matter of time that, you know, there's going to be some major upwelling in the oceans, that's what they're telling us. But a lot of the information they're giving us is also about the Atlantic current. And in the movie, all of this information is there, and it talks about the dynamics behind that and how the melting of the poles is actually bringing in the fresh water that's interfacing with the salt water and actually shutting down the Atlantic current, which is not real good news for England and a lot of Europe. But that's escalating as we speak. It's down, it was down to 50%, and the last time I heard it stopped twice, and it's just stopped again recently. So when that Atlantic current quits, all the warm water that it goes up to England and Europe and in those areas and keeps them kind of thawed out, you might say, is not going to be there. So they're going to have some real extreme weather and you know, a major cooling down and a lot of snow and ice that they're not used to.
Well, and then it isn't just the Atlantic current. There's also some things with solar flares.
Yeah, exactly. And then pretty much what they've been telling us is that we've got several things coming up. One is the sun, and it's continuously expanding. And then right now it's real quiet all of a sudden, but I think it's just the calm before the storm. But they're saying right around 2010 that there's going to be such a flurry of coronal mass ejections and solar flares that just about anything with a chip in it, which means your car, things flying in the air, just about anything is just not going to function. So
we talked a lot about solar flares a couple of years ago, but for those folks that didn't listen to James and I at KFNX back then, talk a little bit, James, about solar flares, what they are, and how do they affect us?
Well, the solar flares are just major fluctuations in the coming off the sun, and some are coronal mass ejections. There's huge ejections coming off, and some are smaller flares, and when they hit the Earth, luckily they've glanced us, and they haven't hit us dead on, and one of the glancing shots we had hit Canada and actually caused a major power outage there and took the grid down there. And that wasn't a direct hit, but the sun is like a revolving cannon, and it's just shooting these flares out and coronal mass ejections one after another after another. And luckily, they've been missing us, and a couple near misses, but all it takes is one direct hit, and it's pretty much goodbye to the grid, you know, the entire communication system, too. Pretty much everything is going to go down.
Yeah. Really interested in what that's going to do, because you know you talk about the grid. Are you including in that the internet system?
Pretty much, yeah, anything that plugs in. Hopefully there's ways that people will gear up for this and figure out other ways of keeping things going. But it's going to be a massive effort. I really don't see us continuing business as usual. And, you know, in a way, that's a good thing because it's going to free us up. And, you know, you really think about it, we're so controlled, you know, by this system we put in place. And once that goes down, all of a sudden we're basically free to kind of simplify and regroup and rethink, you know, who we are and where we are and where we're going.
Which is certainly an important thing for us to be doing here in view of everything that we have going on, you know, with the wars and, the bottom absolutely falling out of the real estate market. I mean, I understand on one side that's the truth and on the other side it isn't because, you know, real estate's always a good investment, and it had to level out. It was going crazy, and I get that. But on the other hand, China is heavily invested, and they're looking at us, I'm sure, and that they're not very pleased with what's happening over here.
No.
And
no,
it's
global.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. We're definitely having some major global events going down, and I just see that, you know, we have this stranglehold on us right now, and it's kind of sad, but, you know, we've got the oil corporations and the pharmaceutical corporations and the war industry and all of these guys calling the shots, the big corporations, and it's going to be so hard to shift out of that, to shift the power and get people to kind of wake up and smell the coffee. And you know, unfortunately, the damage we're doing to each other and to the planet, you know, can't continue. And this might be, you know, nature might just be the whole card that might, you know, give us a break so we can, you know, get free of all this and start redirecting our consciousness and our actions.
Yeah, I have had the feeling that I need to begin storing food again. You know, and people who listen to me know that I eat very live and very raw. So that, for me, means storing Sunrider because that's what I live on. And you know, that requires taking, tearing the top off of a package and pouring it into some water, and you know, or eating a bar that's wrapped in a bio-friendly package type of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, storing water and almond butter or almond nuts and mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, you know, so that if anything happens, we could have at least a month of food and water. Are you in agreement with that? Are you storing?
Oh, definitely. I would even look at a couple of years. You know, why not? It's not really that hard to store food. You know, when you simplify, you know, you can go down and buy a few big bags of rice and some big bags of beans and, you know, a nice big bag of rolled oats and you're covered. You know, and it doesn't really cost that much to do that.
No, and if you just do it a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. Question, James, how long does water stay stored? What's the best way to store water?
You know, it depends on the water, basically, and what's in it when you store it. And, you know, people have all these techniques, but what I get is I get the oxygen water, you know, that and that is self-cleansing. The oxygen in it keeps it clear. But I like to, you know, utilize that water. There's probably other ways of adding something to the water that'll keep it fresh. But I think one of the best things to do, basically, is find, and it's not easy, is to find a supply of water that you know is always going to be there and get, you know, some really good filtration systems or
right.
something of that nature for the future.
So you need to kind of build over top of a well.
Yeah, you know, or find it, even if you have a river or something that's close by or a stream that's constantly running, you know, things like that. I mean, it's not too hard to...
But isn't that water too polluted now to drink it?
Well, they have filtration systems now that are pretty amazing. And, you know, and they also have tablets you can throw in there that'll... pretty much kill everything as well, but
yeah. So we need to kind of lay in a store of a filtration system. It would be very, very difficult to store 2 years of water.
Yeah, it would, but you know, it wouldn't hurt to store, you know, a couple weeks worth of water at least, you know, minimum.
And
you know, give you time
I thought about because I live on the west side of Phoenix, and
mm-hmm.
I'm out here, you know, in farm country. And I thought about actually picking up the old ways again and canning vegetables, you know, carrots and celery and peas and that sort of thing. I mean, there's, you know, when you cold pack things,
mm-hmm.
That stuff retains some of its nutrition. Not a lot, but it retains some. You could stay alive. So
worst case scenario, buy cases, go to like the Costco's or the other places and buy, you know, a whole case of, a lot of cases of canned, some of the canned foods and, you know, just canned tuna or canned veggies or whatever just to get by.
Right. Well, I kind of like the idea of canning things in glass jars.
Oh, I do too. I think it's incredible. We do a lot of drying here because I have... apples, I've got Asian pears, pear trees, tons of plums, all kinds of things here. And so we just dry a lot of our stuff and or just freeze it temporarily, you know. But then again, you know, you never know that freezer might, you know, the power of your freezer might go. So canning would be better.
Well, that would be an interesting topic too, James, because, you know, I know I've found today that if I say to somebody, well, you know, I might can a couple of bushel of carrots,
mm-hmm.
they look at me like I'm out of my mind. You know, you know how to can. Well, shoot, yes, I know how to can.
Yeah.
But it might be a really interesting topic to tell people how to dry. I've got a friend that must have 7 apple trees in her yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that people don't know how to dry apples.
You know, I'll bet you most of them end up on the ground, basically. A lot of people don't even pick the fruit they have or
right,
or utilize
right.
it. And, you know, so there's usually abundance of food out there, especially right now. But if when we really get into the major earth changes, and, you know, some of the things on the books are, it's what a lot of the prophets are saying right now. Different people are saying that we are going to go through a pole shift, but it's a 3-degree pole shift. It's not the whole earth flipping over. And that would shoot us about 200 miles where we are in Washington towards the south. And so we would have like California weather after that. But the problem is if you're along the oceans in those areas, there's going to be a, you know, all that water. You know, people were asking me, well, that doesn't make sense. If the pole turns, all the seas stay where they are and everything else. And I put a cup of water in their hand. And then I hit their hand, and the water went all over them, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what happens. You know, the earth moves, the water stays in the, where it is, you know, and the earth goes under it. So, you know, I explained to them that way that not a good idea to be on the coast, you know, after the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Or even as close as before that, there's other minor events that are going to happen.
How about earthquakes? Big change
well,
and going to have lots of activity?
It's, you know, that's pretty much already going on. It's been escalating, and all the numbers are saying, you know, 400% or plus, you know, escalation in earthquake activity. And we seem to be having we had a little lull there for a little while, but it's picking up again. And, you know, the Earth's mantle is overheating. The whole Earth is overheating, our whole heliosphere, or our solar system, is moving to a new place in the universe with it's very highly charged area, a lot more energy, a lot more light, and everything is reacting to it. All the planets are reacting to it. And it's one of the causes behind global warming. But it's also aggravated by, you know, the CO2 emissions and the other things. But, you know, a lot of people are fighting over the cause of global warming, and that's kind of it's a no point. Basically, it doesn't matter about the cause. That, you know, first of all, we need to clean things up anyway, and second of all, it's here, and there's no denying it. And so, the next step is, what are we going to do about it? You know, they're too busy arguing over the cause of it. It's this. Well, it doesn't matter. It's here, and we need to start gearing up for it.
Yeah. Well, latest world events. I'm just looking at your page on the Earth changes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if anybody is listening to us that didn't hear me give the website, it's eceti.org, eceti.org. I'm right now on the Earth changes page. What kinds of things are we going to see happening with the current events, with our world events?
Well, kind of what on the website, we haven't really updated the Earth change thing. I have one of the producers, Michael Knight, actually has his own Earth change website that he's put together, and so I send out his report. If people want to sign up for the newsletter, it's free, and if they send out for that, we send out, you know, Michael Knight's Earth Change reports, because I'm spread out way too thin right now, you know, with the between the movies and eSETI and the retreat center here and the talks and everything else that are going on in the conferences, it's too overwhelming. But we utilize his information, and you know, it's pretty obvious that we're definitely going under some major social economic changes. That always happens first, and then usually the earth changes follow that. So we're definitely in the middle of the major social changes. What they told me was this November, actually they've been saying this for years, they said, watch this November, you're going to see phenomenal things happen in the news and in the media and in the political events and everything else. And they said basically things are going to get real transparent, and everything is going to be pushed right up to the surface, and people are going to start seeing things how they are, not how they told, how they were told they are. So, you know, and I'm watching this just unfold as we speak, and they also said the UFO thing, that the lid would be blown off the UFO thing this November, and it would just continue.
Well, I noticed there's a lot of stuff on cable.
Oh, yeah.
About the UFO situation. And did you see the one where they were talking about releasing the black box information now that's, of course, been undercover for who knows how many years?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, which one is, you mean the black budget information or
The black box, they, you know, they had a ton of pilots that were talking about the light in the sky following along side them, you know, at Mach 2 or some ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've heard about that. What really blew the lid off, it basically was the Larry King special. And then they brought, you know, all of these, you know, the governor, Fife Symington, came up and said, look, this was real. This is not, you know, what I saw was definitely extraterrestrial. So he, you know, did a total turnaround on that. And then they brought out top, you know, FAA people. They brought out pilots, generals from all around the world, Air Force people, everybody saying, look, we've been encountering these things and chasing these things for a long time.
Yeah.
So, and then CNN picked up on that, and they started covering it. So the cover-up's pretty much over. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, the coffin lid is nailed down, basically. And might as well just throw it in the hole. And, you know, anything they're doing now to keep the cover-up going is just having them look very foolish, and the government is now losing all credibility if they keep trying to cover this up. And the real disclosure is happening in the skies. And the UFOs have really stepped it up, and they're being seen everywhere right now.
What is that?
What's that?
What is being seen everywhere?
The UFOs now are being all over the world right now, in Mexico. You know, France released their files. Mexico released their information. Canada, Germany. I'm trying to think of all the different ones. Russia. They're all releasing their files. And if you go to Filer's Files, which is one of the UFO reporting centers, he is constantly showing a map of the United States, and he said that basically not just worldwide, but almost every state is having UFO sightings right now in the U.S. And so the UFOs have actually started up their campaign as well. So they're being seen, you know, whole cities are seeing them, like, you know, in Canada, they're flying over major cities. You know, they flew over there in Phoenix. Mexico is having thousands of ships flying over Mexico, and they're getting it on film. So they've very, very much stepped up their campaign as well.
Why are they here, James?
Well, it depends on which group. There's a lot of different groups. The first contacts, you might say, were not, I would say they're more self-serving. They were not really in our highest and best good, and we had a choice between which groups we connected with, and our leadership chose the low-level contacts, unfortunately, and traded technology, and that's where all the abductions and all the other experiments and the problems have been coming from. And they've learned that that was not the right path to take. It kind of went awry, and that path is phasing out, and now the more benevolent ones are coming in. So you have some groups that are just, now they're just observing, and you have some very, very powerful, benevolent ones coming in right now that are putting an end to the low-level contacts and a lot of the other nonsense that's been going on for quite some time.
Okay. Well, it's getting interesting, and I go out and look at the skies and wonder when I'm going to see one. What is up?
Yeah.
I'm really
surprised right now. If you spend, you know, an hour or two at night just watching the skies, I'm really surprised you're not seeing anything, because there's so much flying there, especially here. We go out and just in 15 or 20 minutes, we'll see sometimes four or five or six, or sometimes if we stay out for an hour, we'll see 20. And they're just moving all over the place up here, and they're some are coming behind the trees, they're coming out of the mountain, going into the mountain. And on the website, again, if you go to eastedi.org, there's a video there. It says, "Thank you, Sam," and there's a friend of ours from Germany that came here, and he just took shots of the mountain while he was here and got massive motherships, giant cylinder-shaped ships over the mountain, and just a whole lot of them just in one weekend that was he was here. And he just left his camera on automatic, and it just kept taking shots, and then he'd go into his computer and look at them, and then look for some objects in there, and he found them that way. He put a clip together on the site. So, and we have to remember, when you see these ships, I mean, they're massive ships and everything, but there's not a lot of detail on these ships because they're not visible to the human eye, but the cameras can see them and pick them up because the cameras pick up a lot more of the visible light spectrum.
There's another page on your site that I find very interesting. It's called Spiritual Transpersonal Release. Now,
Yes. This
is more about you, not just about ufology and what's going on at your place in Washington. Talk a little bit about what you call one of the most powerful therapies on the planet. Spiritual Transpersonal Release Technique.
Yeah.
And you said it was once known as Reto Clearing?
Retro Clearing is what we used to call it a long time ago.
Okay.
And we got that from a woman up here that owned a bookstore, and she was calling it like a spiritual Roto-Rooter, you know. And when she had the session done, it kind of blew her away, and she had some real severe back injuries, and they just went away. She had a spontaneous healing. But that doesn't happen every time. I never know what's going to happen in the session, but I do know that we can clear out any past life trauma, any birth trauma from age one to a person's present age, and clear out the major blocks that they're dealing with.
Sure.
And then at the end, there's like a love feeding that comes in from their own main teacher and guide, and we identify the main teacher and guide. So it's like a quantum leap in spiritual evolution when people go through this process. And if they get the books after that, it has the techniques in there on how to keep yourself clear and how to clear others and, you know, keep your energies clear.
What are you doing? Are you doing retreats at your place now?
Well, right now we've got, you know, over a foot of snow and it's still coming down, so we're kind of gearing down a little bit right now. And we'll probably start up again in spring. Mainly I've been doing a lot of conferences and, kind of on the road speaking a lot, but I'm pulling my energies back right now and focusing here on the sanctuary and building it up and trying to get more people here, you know, coming up here to the ranch and to do the clearing work here. And I'm going to be doing a lot of other classes up here too with other teachers and healers and things of that nature, because we've got the conference building finished and just a few
it's
more.
It's all finished, huh?
Yep, it's ready to go. We had almost 400 people here. We've had two conferences, and each one had almost 400 people. So,
Wow.
It looks like Woodstock here, basically. It's like UFO Woodstock, tents everywhere. It's just amazing. And I had almost everybody I had here were PhDs, basically, the speakers, a really good lineup. And what was nice about that is each one was, you know, one of the best in their field. They were the top people in their field, and some were in psychology, you know, some were in politics, some were in geology, and some were in, I've had nuclear physicists, all kinds of people here. But, all of these people are some are university professors, and, you know, they all got to see the ships firsthand. We had two huge ships fly right over and one came from the north and one came from the south, and they met right over the center. And, you know, there's a lot of other ships. I don't know how many ships we were seeing. And then a lot of photographs came in afterwards, just tons of photographs of people that took all kinds of, not only just ships, but paranormal photographs as well during the event.
Cool. Way cool. Well, go to the page, Boys and Girls, Guys and Dolls. If you're on the site, look at books and DVDs. Now, on this page, you have the real UFO video, Beautiful ETs, A Near-Death Experience, Major Earth Changes by 2010. It's a true story that will change your world. Now, this is a DVD that people can purchase online, correct?
Yes, and we've given about three special screenings of this, and it got a standing ovation every time. We showed it at the Bay Area Expo, and I showed it in Shasta and at a conference there in Shasta. And each time we've taken this and have shown it, the people just stood up and they walked out of there just kind of dumbfounded, like what hit me, you know? Because the special effects and everything have such an impact, and they impact your soul on a deep level. And when people see this and the information comes out, and then just go, whoa, you know, this is. You know, they walk out of there, and, you know, we're waiting for some bad press on it or bad reviews or negative comments. We haven't gotten any. I mean, I haven't gotten one negative email or comment on it. Just,
oh, that's nice.
It's amazing because it's so, it covers everything, and it has a lot of science, and it covers the different dimensions, everything in there. So it's it's just amazing how it affects everybody all the way up and down the scale, you know, of human evolution, you might say.
Well, James, you know, you've been out there for a long time carrying this torch and, you know, doing this work, and I commend you. I think that people realize what a task it is to hold these sorts of truths and to stand up under what the world puts you through when you try to do, endeavor to do something, not try, you do it, but it's the endeavor that keeps these sort of things out there for people to see. And it can be a job. I've known you for some time now, and I remember talking to you sometimes daily or bi-weekly, and you worked day and night to build the conference center and to establish what you have going on up there so that, you know, this truth would be held open for people to see. It can't get covered over completely by our government and Big Brother, so to speak. There are those of us that have definitely worked tirelessly, and sometimes it almost seems thanklessly, but in the end, it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. The what's interesting here is that I was actually getting censored by a lot of the UFO groups. And, you know, MUFON and a lot of the other ones, I was running into so much trouble there with these guys. And even, you know, the International UFO Congress, it was I kept just bumping my head into this craziness, and you know, they've got everything in the past. You know, they're focusing on the past, Roswell, these other events, and it's always keeping it far away. And oh yeah, maybe they're out there, and maybe we've back engineered it, the nuts and bolts thing. And what's sad is that they don't have the knowledge, they haven't risen to the occasion to really know who's on these ships and why they're here, and what's happening at a much higher level. And when somebody comes along that does have that knowledge and shares it openly and even shares it with them, there gets to be a lot of competition and you know, a little ego and some other things going on. And you know, the disinformation boys are very thick in that soup as well.
Yeah.
So I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to build my own place, have my own conference building, and censorship over, you know.
Right.
And so I did, and being on the speaking circuit, I met so many people with impeccable integrity that are heart people that
yeah.
I picked the best of the best to come and speak at these conferences.
I like what you said, heart people. We've been talking in the circles that I hang out in, you know, a lot about the shift and that we have now reached critical mass. And for those Toltec people out there, the assemblage point in the body has shifted from the solar plexus to the heart, and the heart energy is the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of talk about this and coming from different directions.
Yes.
So,
and you know what they're saying? What the Palladians are saying is that they are really pressing hard. Their energy's in right now. We're moving into a very powerful stream of Palladian energy, which is more of a matriarchal energy. It's the divine feminine
right.
energy, and it's pushing in real hard. And they
yes.
told me that the more this comes in, and it is coming in very strong now, they said that the people with the heart and hearts and those that are aligned with the energies of control and tyranny and things like that are going down. They're just dropping like flies. And
yeah.
And
yeah.
this is bringing, and it's empowering people that are connected to the heart. They're getting empowered, and they're just saying, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to sit by and watch this anymore. And it's giving them, you know, the courage of the heart to stand up and do something.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Almeen?
Not very familiar.
Do you know who she is, though?
I do. I know who she is. That's about as much as I know.
Right. Well, she has now joined BBS Radio also.
Uh-huh.
But she talks much about the heart energy and what it means, and she is calling it the return of second ring magic, pure white magic.
Yeah.
When we live in a place of love, praise, and gratitude, that is the return of the heart and the mother,
uh-huh.
and how when we create from that place. And, you know, when you think about it, James, living in a state of love, praise, and gratitude, how different is that from what is going on in the rest of the world?
Oh, exactly. It's, those higher frequencies are really turning these low frequencies upside down right now.
Yeah.
And there are people anchoring those energies in and,
right.
you know, utilizing that energy in their work. And it is, it's making a huge shift,
yes.
you know, in the collective consciousness right now.
Yeah, it is. James, talk for a minute about the orbs.
Oh, yeah. They just finished a movie. Actually, Michal Ledwith has a book out, and it's with Beyond Words Publications, and they're also carrying Contact Has Begun. But they're a division of Simon & Schuster, so if people want to look into that, they can. And Hope and Randy Mead, who actually turned on to this orb phenomenon, have been doing a lot of work on it over the past few years, and they put together an incredible video to go along with his book as well. And a lot of that was actually filmed here on the ranch. And so we've been filming almost every color orb you can imagine, every design, you know, diamond-shaped, all kinds of different designs of orbs, like octagons and helmet-shaped ones. Or they look more like a dolphin, you might say. But the phenomenon's been going here for a real long time, and because this is a vortex here, and now it's starting to show up everywhere, you know, all over the world. But that's one of the movies that just broke out. It's called Orbs, The Veil is Lifting, and that's on the
right.
website as well.
Yeah.
And they're... You know, they have Michal's in there. He's a great friend and very enlightened man. And he was a bishop, and he was a chief advisor to the Pope, you know. So, you know, he did a total turnaround. And, you know, he was always seeking the truth and just couldn't quite find it there, you know. So he went far beyond, you know, that program. And he's put out some great DVDs about the
yeah.
true life of Jesus and what that's all about. So, So it's pretty amazing. The
and it's not from the perspective of the Catholic Church?
No, it's not. You know, he had access to books and tablets and whatever, you know, scrolls that nobody else did just because of who he was. And, you know, being an advisor to the Pope and one of the major theologians, so, you know, he compiled all this evidence. And then after he compiled that evidence, he took off and he traveled, followed that evidence to India and to Tibet and all over and tracked all of this down and verified it there as well. So it's a wonderful story. It's a very uniting story. And it basically what it says is that, you know, when you look at Buddhist teachings and the teachings of Jesus, they imprint right on top of each other. And he did study, you know, the teachings of Buddha. He did study with the Tibetan masters. And he studied in almost all the ancient temples along the way. And not only did he study there, he taught there. And, you know, kind of pissed off a lot of people because some of the things they were doing, he felt they were incorrect, like the caste system and things like that. So it's kind of an interesting story, and it's very, very well documented. And it's a story that unifies Jesus with all the other cultures, you might say, versus divides, you know, him into one little chosen group, you know, which is really never the plan.
Never really the plan, is it?
No, you know, every master, saint, or sage for every culture, they had universal principles and understandings which they taught, and you know, they were the basics of you know, universal peace, brother sisterly love, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody, seeing the Creator in all creation, you know, working with nature, not against nature, and they all pretty much had the same basic premise that they taught, and then that got, you know, twisted by kings and institutions down the line. But if we go back to those original premises and live according to those premises, then we, you know, we go back to Eden, basically, and live in harmony with each other and nature and don't have all the problems we're facing today.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yeah, you know, it is our destiny. We are going to go through some really tough times, but we have to realize that these tough times are a good thing. And it's part of the old going out and nature cleaning up and getting ready for the new. And we are going to join the rest of the universe in peace and take a quantum leap in evolution on every level. So it's really worth, you know, sticking around and doing our own process work and walking away from the nonsense. You know, don't participate anymore in the things that are harmful to humanity, Earth, and the things that are trespassing on people's, you know, individual freedom.
Yeah. Well, let's finish up with your new radio show, As
Okay.
You Wish.
Yes.
With James Gilliland. And you have joined the BBSradio.com.
Yes, I've been there for a while now. Quite a while. But I've been having some great guests. I mean, I just had Jay-Z Knight on the show, which was a great interview. And I've got Michal coming up, Michal Ledwith. I'm working with Yuri Geller, and I'm working with Lynn Taggart. I think they're going to be on the show here pretty quick. I'm working with one of their agents right now. But it's quite a list. I had J.J. Hurtak on there, Brad Steiger. But what's nice about being on the speaking circuit, I know all these people, you know, so
yeah.
I can pick up the phone and call a lot of them.
How did you meet Jay-Z? Now, I studied with Jay-Z. I know Jay-Z. I studied with her for quite a few years.
Yes. You know,
way back in the day, in the 80s.
Yeah. That connection took almost a year to make happen. It was, same thing with me. It was back in 86. I went there. I went to, but she didn't have the school yet. There were just some intensives going on.
Right, right.
We worked on that for quite a while, and I had a lot of the people that she has working with her, Greg Simmons, and I'm trying to think of some of the other people. I kept communicating with them, trying to get them on the show, and, you know, they're traveling all over the planet, basically, doing all these intensives and workshops and things. So it was really hard to get them on. And Mike Wright, I think, is one of them and some other ones. But, you know, finally I just said, well, you know, why not just go for the top? You know,
yeah.
Why not? You know, enough of this messing around. So just started sending a lot of emails saying, look, this is who we are. This is what I'm doing. Would you like to come on the show? And it took quite a while. And finally she said, yes, I'd love to do it.
Sure.
And she on the show, she said she just loves the work, you know, we're doing here. She thinks it's awesome. And you know, that was kind of a nice compliment coming from her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a very interesting woman.
Yeah, it was a great interview. It was a
was
really
it?
Good interview. And you know, we need about three of them to really cover it well, because there was so much information given and very powerful tools and techniques that she gave everybody to heal themselves, to create their tomorrow. And you know, it was a pretty amazing interview.
Do you have it archived?
Yep, it's on there.
Okay. How long have you been with BBS now?
God, I don't know. It's well over a year, I think.
Okay.
A year and a half, maybe? I
didn't realize you were on. I've been on for about a year now. Must be close to a year.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's been almost, might even be 2 years. I'm not sure. It might be a year and a half. You know, actually, I was on BBS. I think I was on at the first conference, so it's been... could be over 2 years. I'm really bad about time. That's one thing I just don't function in on a time thing. I'm more in the present, you know, at the moment.
Yeah,
people say,
in the moment. Yes.
Yeah, people will say, hey, what, do you remember that when I saw you, you know, like, whatever, 6 years ago? And I go, was it 6 years ago? I thought that was yesterday or something, or a month ago or something.
I know. I mean, can you believe the No Nonsense Prophecy Conference was 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's
going to
be
three now.
Three, yeah. I was going to say seems to be a little longer than that. But,
I mean, just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I've just, up here we get, I mean, some of the work we're doing here, we get so high. You know, we get into that timeless zone, and you're so blissed out, and you're connecting with these higher beings and having telepathic communications, and time just doesn't exist. And I have to stop myself and go, you know, when I wake up in the morning, like, okay, where am I, you know? It's hard to recenter in and go, you know, what month is this? You know, I couldn't even give you the day, you know, it's bad enough. Luckily, I write everything down on a calendar, so I remember to do these radio shows. But after totally forgetting about a couple, I figured it was better to start getting a little more grounded.
I hear you. Well, James, I want to thank you very much for coming on Talk Truth Radio this evening. You and I have done years of talk radio together now, it seems like. Been a long time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's been a long-lasting experience.
It has, and I want to thank you for all of it. And thank you for coming on tonight. I'd love to have you back on. You know, get a hold of me and say, you know, we need to talk about this. I want to come on the show.
Okay.
And
yeah, because there's definitely things happening, major breakthroughs, and they're giving us information and heads up on things. And you know, we need to get it out there as quick as possible to people, and I'll definitely let you know when
we'll do that
when this happens.
You've got my email and you've got my phone number, and you obviously know when my show is.
Yes.
So
yes.
You know, you just need to be calling and saying, hey, I want to talk here.
Yeah. If you ever have a slot you need to fill, give me a ring.
Hey, you know I will.
Yeah. You know, I love this. This is what I'm focusing on right now is all the traveling and all the other work. Now I'm focusing on the sanctuary here and the radio show. And you know, I've got the third book out, The Ultimate Soul Journey. I just released that as well. So that book's out there, and that's more of an autobiography. And it covers everything, everything from Bigfoot to fairies to, contact to near-death experience all the way to the source itself?
Well, you know, those are a couple of subjects for our next show. We will talk about the fairies, and, you know, those are near and dear to my own heart.
Yeah, we've got photographs of them, actually, here. We have incredible photographs of these fairy-like beings that are just pure energy.
Well, I'm going to get up there to the ranch. I need to come up and see you and spend a little time and get a look at what you're doing. I've talked about it for so long now and haven't really experienced it myself, so I think I need to make that happen.
Definitely. Come up in the spring here when it's a little warmer. Right now it's snowing.
Yeah.
You're not going to see too much, but...
Well, we'll plan a trip for this spring, I think. You know, I just got back from Ireland, and I've become just a traveling fool here.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting.
We're Scotch-Irish and Cherokee, actually. So.
Well, I'm Scotch-Irish and Arapaho and Blackfoot. My father was full-blooded, so,
yeah.
Same thing. When I was in Ireland, I didn't really get a chance to look at as much as I wanted to. I tell you, I can't believe those people drive by all of that stuff every single day, and they don't even realize it's there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I only had 2 days to look around, but our family is the McGinnises.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, my mother's a Morrison, and our family is the McGinnises.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm very, very Irish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet. One of these days I'll get over there. I'm waiting for my beam ship, and as soon as I get my beam ship, I might do a lot more traveling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but these planes are kind of scary right now.
I know. Well, listen, my brother, I want to thank you so very much for coming on and doing Talk Truth Radio with me. And as I said, got to get you back on. You have to be one of the regulars. And when you've got something you want to talk about, you shoot me an email or a call, and we will get it done.
Sounds great. I'll do that.
eSETI.org. Go to the website. Check it out.
All right.
And,
well, thanks for having me on the show, and have a great evening.
Absolutely. And just let you folks know, As You Wish Talk Radio with James, and it's on live Saturday nights, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at the BBSradio.com. James, thank you, and many blessings, my brother.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, you've got a lot of activity in your skies lately, from what I hear. So,
over the Arizona skies?
You might want to keep your head out and watch.
Well, I'm going to get my head out there, and I'm going to take a look, see what I can see.
Sounds great.
Thanks, James.
All right, take care.
Good night now.
Good night.
And I would like to remind all of you, take a look at my website, www.drrainmorgan.com. And I want to thank Fate Magazine again one more time. Go to fatemag.com. They're the oldest paranormal publication out there, and they, of course, printed my story a couple of years ago, and they have the ad for bbsradio.com and the shows that we do. So, again, we thank Fate Magazine, and we thank Dr. Sandra Rose Michael, Energy Enhancement System, the EESystem.com, the bioscalar energy that can literally change your physical life. Thank you so much for joining us on Talk Truth Radio this evening. Come on back next Wednesday night, and of course, Sunday night I'm on and do lots of radio with Al Mean. So to all of you, thank you and many, many blessings. Good evening.
The talk radio you have just enjoyed is brought to you by Dr. Sandra Rose Michael and Energy Enhancement Systems. Have a very blessed week, and please join us next Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time when we return with more exciting talk. To find out more about the host and sponsor, visit drrainmorgan.com and energyenhancementsystems.com.